بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وخاتم النبيين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا، المصطفى أبي القاسم محمد، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد.
أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقرآنه الحميد وقوله الحق: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Over the past few nights we have been discussing about this whole concept of tazkiyatun nafs. And so far, just to recap very briefly, we've said that the human being has the potential to ascend in the ladder of spirituality so that he can say to something, kun fayakun. He has that potential. Like Salman al-Farisi, for example. So not necessarily this individual is like Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, or a prophet of Allah, or a divine successor of a prophet. Those individuals, the prophets of Allah, the divine successor, the imams, and so on and so forth, these have even higher status, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes angry for their anger, and becomes happy and pleased for their pleasure. So they're even at a higher rank. And that's of course because of their complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Complete submission. Mukhlaseen. They're ibadullah al-mukhlaseen with the fatha. So they are completely submitted to Allah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them. Nonetheless, that's one end. The other end, no. He follows his desires and follows his desires until he becomes worse than the cattle and the animals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And then in between those two ends, there is a nafsul lawamah. So the first nafs that ascends the human being into the path of spirituality is the nafsul mutma'inna. The other nafs that makes him descend and descend and descend until he becomes worse than the animals is a nafsul ammarati bisu. And then between those two nafs is a nafs that tries to pull him out from his desires and wake the person up to drag him towards the path of spirituality, the path of merging and ascending to be joined with the soul. And that is an-nafsul lawwama. And then we mentioned yesterday that the human being, when that nafs kicks in, he starts feeling guilty for his actions. And hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy and His love to all His creation, He opened the gate of tawbah for them. No matter what sin a human being commits, any sin, he should not or she should not give up hope from Allah's mercy. They should always turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do tawbah. And Allah loves those who do tawbah. And we looked at some of those examples. Then we also saw that what can help a person to drive himself in the path of ascension is his love to Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And there we looked at some examples of people and their interaction, for example, with Imam Hussein alayhi as-salam. You had one category of people who were like Umar ibn Sa'd. They let their nafsul ammarati bisu in charge, and he favored the desires. He favored the dunya over the akhirah while he recognizes who Imam Hussein is. He knows very well. But, khalas, his nafsul ammarati bisu came in charge, and hence Iblis and his soldiers came and started making everything nice for him. Subhanallah, to the extent when this happens, the person just cannot see anymore. Khalas, as if he becomes blind. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, on the day of Ashura, he told Umar ibn Sa'd, Ya ibn Sa'd, أتزعم أنك تقتلني والدعي ابن الدعي يوليك بلاد الري وجرجان وكأني برأسك هذا ترميه الأطفال بالحجارة. He says, O Umar ibn Sa'd, do you claim that you are going to kill me and the sinner, the son of the sinner, is going to make you the governor of Ray and Jurjan, you know, Iran? You claim this? It is as if I see your head before me, my eyes, right now, being kicked by the kids on the streets of Kufa and they're stoning it. But subhanallah, now Umar ibn Sa'd knows who Imam Hussein is. But he just turns his head away and he comes and he says, bear witness and testify for me that I am the first man to shoot an arrow at the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Ajib. Yani some people, wal'iyadu billah, we pray to Allah not to make us of such individuals. Sometimes these people or people who were like such individuals, like Umar ibn Sa'd, they were not like this. You find them muttaqeen, mu'mineen. But subhanallah, when the love of dunya enters in their hearts, they become completely blind and they switch. This is what is known as khudlan. Khudlan. What is khudlan? Khudlan is when the human being does not have tawfiq. Tawfiq is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides the human being in everything that is good for him. Khudlan is the opposite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a consequence to the action of the human being, he starts taking him in the direction that is bad for him, that will take him away from Allah. Like for example, Bal'am ibn Ba'ura. Bal'am ibn Ba'ura was at the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. He knew Ismullah al-A'zam. He had so much taqwa and piety that he knew Ismullah al-A'zam. Ismullah al-A'zam. We read in the dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka bismika al-azim al-a'zam, al-a'azz al-ajall al-akram. Oh Allah, I'm asking you by your great holy name, through which that if you ask you, the skies, through your name, your holy name, to open, they would open. And so on and so forth. This is in dua al-asharat or dua al-samat. So, there, that's Ismullah al-a'zam. Bal'am bin Ba'ura, the scholar, had that name. He knew it. In other words, he can pray to Allah with any dua and Allah will accept it. Because he knew Ismullah al-A'zam. Until Prophet Musa was sent as a prophet, as a messenger. He looked, he said, why is it that Musa is sent as a messenger? I am better than Musa. So I'm going to go on the mountain and use Ismullah al-A'zam to destroy Musa alayhi salam. Subhanallah. So he goes onto the mountain, and then as he was riding his donkey to the mountain, he falls off his donkey and the donkey starts running over him until he kills him. He gets killed. This man was of the status of the taqwa that he knew Ismullah al-A'zam. And Allah mentions him in the Quran. Have you seen the one whom we gave him our signs? Allah says, فَانْسَلَخَ. Means he actually, have you seen the snake when it disassociates itself from its skin? I don't know if some of you have seen that. A snake has the ability sometimes, some snakes, they have the ability to actually remove their skin and then they would grow a new skin. Okay, so that action of the skin, of the snake, letting go of its skin, this is انسلاخ. So that is basically disassociating in that sense. So this man, he disassociated himself from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says about him that his example and similitude is like the dog. فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ. Allah says, if you go after the dog, it starts barking at you. If you stay away from the dog, it will also come and start barking at you. This is the example of such individuals. There are other people that Allah mentions in the Quran. So this is Bal'am. At that high level, that high ranking, then he became blind through jealousy, wal'iyadu billah. Jealousy made him go blind. There are other people who go blind because of their jealousy as well, but not at the level of Bal'am. Bal'am was not just an ordinary scholar. He knew Ismullah al-A'zam. Allah says, مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. Some people who are ulama, but they rejected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although they were ulama, Allah says their similitude is like that of the donkey. He carries books. You know, you can put lots of books on the donkey to carry it for you, but he doesn't understand anything of it. So these are the individuals. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ When a person becomes blind, even if he is a alim, even if he is a muttaqi, even if he is بَلْعَمْ بِنْ بَاعُورَ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ He can lose everything. So that's what happened to Umar ibn Sa'd as well. And we have to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make us like this. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ This can happen through a mistake that we do in our lives. One sin, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ can make us and take us into that path. One sin. That's why there is a hadith that says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hid four things in four things. He hid among these four things, he said, he hid his anger in his disobedience. So do not belittle any of God's disobedience, because that disobedience, that sin could result in Allah's anger. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ One sin. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ And when Allah becomes angry at this individual, then he take away tawfiq from him. Tawfiq is taken away. Success is taken away from him. And he becomes like Umar ibn Sa'd. All as a consequence of his own action. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is imposing. No, this man he chose. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him go. And then we said there are better, higher ranks. One man like Harthama who said to Imam Hussein, I'm not going to fight with you nor against you. Another man who was a bit higher, he said, I'm not going to fight with you or against you, but I'm willing to donate, support your cause. I'm going to give you my, what? Horse. I'll give you my horse. Imam Hussein said, we don't need your horse. We want you. We don't need your horse. So keep it yourself. But that was another level of support. And then you had the people like the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who sacrificed everything they have for the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And then you had Zainab alayhi salam, who sacrificed her children for Imam Hussein and then did sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking him that, Ya Allah, you've honored me by giving me sons who were sacrificed defending their Imam alayhi salam. So you see all these ranks. And so when we stand and say, فَيَا لَيْتَنَا كُنَّا مَعَكُمْ فَنَفُوزَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا in the ziyarah of Imam Hussein, I wish I was with you, or we wish we were with you, so that we had have won, we have to ask ourselves this really honest question. Which of these ranking are we? If Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam is to reappear today, and he tells me, he makes a call, just like the call of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we need people to come and fight before us. Am I going to be, wal-iyadu billah, like Umar ibn Sa'd, be fooled by some wealth or some money, and then go and fight against the Imam? Or am I going to be that the person who told the Imam, you know what? I'm busy right now with so much work. My business is going really well these days. So it's difficult for me to come. Or will we say that, you know what? My business is going very well, so I can't come now. But you know what? How much money do you want? I can give you donations. Donations I can give you. Money. Or will we actually go and join Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam and fight before him and defend him? And will we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving? See, these are some really honest questions. Today, if the Imam comes, where do we stand? Imam Hussein left Mecca with 1,000 men. Then he told those people, those men, he gathered them one day, he told them, listen people, خط الموت على ابن آدم مخط القلادة على جيل الفتاة. Death is surrounding the human being just like the necklace that surrounds the neck of the girl. And it is as if I see my limbs being torn into pieces in Karbala, بين النواويس وكربلا. So it is as if I'm seeing this. In other words, he told them very clearly, this, I'm going to fight this fight, I'm not going to win it, huh? Physically, I'm not going to win. I'm going to be killed in that battle. So some people out of those 1,000 men, some of them joined Imam Hussein because they thought Imam Hussein will win. And so this guy will get a governorship. Or that other guy will win some booty of some sort. But when they realize that, no, Imam Hussein is making it very clear, huh? And Imam Hussein did this so that people, first of all, to test the people. How genuine are they? And two, so that nobody will come on the day of Ashura and tell Imam Hussein, you didn't tell us. You didn't tell us. From day one, he declared it. We are going to fight. When he left Medina, he told his brother Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah, I am leaving. لا أخرج أشرا ولا بطرا ولا ظالما ولا مفسدا. I'm not leaving because I have nothing better to do, or because I'm causing corruption, nor am I an oppressor. I am leaving and I'm rising, seeking the guidance of the nation of my grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So whomever follows me, then he has followed the truth, the haqq. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of being followed with haqq, with the truth. And whomever leaves me and disassociates me or deserts me, then I will have the patience until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges for me, and He is the best judge. So from day one, He made His message very clear in Medina, then in Mecca, then on the eve of Ashura again. He told His companions, you can leave me, because those people, they only want me. They want to kill me, not you guys. So why die with me? Go. But they said, no, Ya Ibn Rasulullah. What is life in dunya without you? So out of those 1,000 men that were with Imam Hussein in Mecca, on the day of Ashura, he was left with how many men? 72. Plus 18 of his family members. That's about 90. Add a few more here and there, let's say 100. So out of the 1,000, he was left with how many? 100. That's, what is the percentage here? 10%. Allahu Akbar. 10%. And this is not those who did not even follow Imam Hussein. These 1,000, they actually joined Imam Hussein, which means they supported his cause initially, which means they don't hate Imam Hussein. Right? Never mind the other 30,000 that Umar ibn Sa'd brought, the army, against Imam. And those who did not support the Imam altogether. Never mind this. Those are the people who actually, they claim to follow the Imam. Out of the 1,000, 100, 10%. Where do we stand? Where do we stand? Something to think about. Now a person might ask, will say that, you know what, I am trying to purify myself. You know, I try to put on the hijab, for example, but I find it very difficult. I try to stop listening to music, but I find it very difficult. I try not to look at the haram wal-iyadu billah, but I find it very difficult. I try to pay my khums, but when I see, mashallah, my business is doing really well, my khums, mashallah, is also going to be very high. I can't. It's difficult. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies in Surah Al-Ankabut, the last ayah in Surah Al-Ankabut that we just recited. Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ayah number 69, the last ayah. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. And those who struggle to find our path, we will guide them to our path. You know, in English they say, if there is a will, there is a way. There is a hadith of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam that says that body, this body of us, of ours, is capable of doing anything that the niyyah, the ruh, wants it to do. For example, sometimes I want to wake up for Salat al-Layl. But, especially in the summertime, when Salat, for example, Subh is at 3 in the morning, so it's difficult, difficult to wake up. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, no, if you put your intention and your mind and your heart into it, you will force your body to wake up for Salat al-Layl. You'll force it. Fasting, for example, in the summer months is difficult, but if you put your heart and mind into it, your body will also submit. And so on and so forth. Here, Imam is saying, or the ayah is saying that if a person tries sincerely to go into the path of Allah, Allah will guide them, will guide this individual. Things might be difficult. True. Well, that is the imtihan. This is the bala. This is the test. If things were so easy, everybody would have followed Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But it's difficult. But when a person struggles to find the right path, Allah will guide him to the right path. Al-Mukhtar al-Thaqafi. Mukhtar, he sought the revenge for the killing of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This man, Al-Mukhtar, At first, initially, he was with Abdullah ibn al-Zubair. He joined Abdullah ibn al-Zubair. Abdullah ibn al-Zubair, for those of you who may not be aware, he led a revolution against Bani Umayyah, and he won for some time. He became the governor of Mecca. And his brother Mus'ab became the governor of Kufa. Because what happened is after Yazid ibn Muawiyah, the Umayyad dynasty started shaking. Many revolutions started taking place, and things were not settled very well. So, Bani Umayyah started losing control a little bit. Abdullah ibn Zubair took control of Mecca, and he became the governor of Mecca. He sent his brother Mus'ab to Kufa, and he became the governor of Kufa. Until Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan came to the Khilafah. When Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan came to the Khilafah, he came with an iron grip. He immediately took al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi and he made him the governor of Basra and then the governor of Kufa and then he made him the governor of Mecca. So this Hajjaj went with all ruthlessness. No, ruthless. He went, he killed Abdullah ibn al-Zubair in the Kaaba. He killed him in the Kaaba. And then he went to Kufa and he killed his brother Mus'ab and he made everything go back to normal for Bani Umayyah. So, this Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. Interestingly, Hajjaj is from the same tribe as al-Mukhtar. Subhanallah. يخرج الخبيث من الطيب ويخرج الطيب من الخبيث. This same tribe, but look at the difference. So, Mukhtar was with Abdullah ibn al-Zubair. Until he saw two things from Abdullah ibn al-Zubair that he did not like. First, Abdullah ibn al-Zubair banned the second shahada in the adhan. So he said, people are not allowed to say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala Muhammad. Why? Because he said, Bani Hashim, whenever they hear the name of their grandfather being recited on the manabir, they become arrogant and makes them feel strong. So we want to break that. So stop saying the shahada, the second shahada from the adhan. He banned it. And then one day, that's one thing. The second thing is one day, Abdullah ibn al-Zubair captured 60 men from Bani Hashim, including the brother of Imam Hussein, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah. 60 men, he captured them and he wanted to kill them. Mukhtar came to him and he said, these are the children of Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. What are you saying? You're killing them. He said, no, we want to kill them. So then he worked with some of his companions, his friends, and managed to free them, the 60 men. Because of this, he realized that, you know, this man is not sincere. Subhanallah, when a person struggles to find the straight path, Allah will guide them to the right path. Mukhtar was fighting with sincerity, ikhlas. So he was with Abdullah ibn al-Zubair, but he realized, Allah showed him that this man is not fighting for sincerity. He's fighting to become the Khalifa. He's fighting for materialistic gains. So then he left him and he decided to go alone. So then he went to Kufa, he gathered an army. And like I said, because the nation was destabilized through all these revolutions, he managed to capture Kufa. And he went after Ubaidillah ibn Ziyad and killed him. Then he went after Shimr and killed him. And then he went to the house of Harmala. Harmala who shot the arrow. He knocked at his door. Harmala said to his wife, I'm going to go and hide in the washroom. If he asks you, where is Harmala? Tell him he's not in the house. So his wife opened the door. Mukhtar said, where is your husband? She pointed towards the washroom. Said there. He's there. إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمُ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. Such a husband, I don't even want to be his wife. So he opened the door at him in the washroom. In the washroom. That's where such people, you know, that's where they end up. He told them, حَرْمَلَ, come and tell me. On the day of Ashura, what did you do? What did you do? What agony and pain did you put into the hearts of Ahlul Bayt? He said, on the day of Ashura, I shot an arrow at the baby of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And I killed him right in the lap of his father. And then I also shot an arrow that fell into the heart of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So he killed him as well. And then he took the three heads. He went to one of his messengers, companions. He said, take these heads and go to Medina. If you go to so-and-so place in Medina, you will see the house of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, Ali ibn al-Hussein. When you see the house, wait until noon. At noon, Imam al-Sajjad opens his doors and he welcomes people for lunch, public lunch. He says, you wait until that moment. Then you enter with the people. When everybody sat or sits for lunch, then you present the heads to Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam and you tell him, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, we have avenged the death of your father. So this man indeed, this messenger, he went to Medina, he went to that street, he found the house of the Imam, waited until noon. When the doors opened, he entered. And when everybody was gathered there waiting to be served with food, he gave the heads to Imam al-Sajjad. Now everybody in the majlis started weeping, people were crying, some people were happy, smiling, mixed feelings in the majlis. And then Imam al-Sajjad salamullah alayhi said, may Allah bless al-Mukhtar. For not a single lady of Bani Hashim put any gold or any jewelry until he avenged the death of our father Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Then he told Imam al-Sajjad, why don't you become the governor of Kufa? I have taken control of Kufa. Imam al-Sajjad said, no. He told Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, how about you? Do you want to be the governor? He said, no. We don't want. So then he said, okay, I'll become the governor. And that's why some historians try to distort the image of al-Mukhtar. Why? Because they say, look, he fought to become the governor. But that is not the true. His son went to Imam either al-Baqir or al-Sadiq alayhi salam, his son. And he told him, can you please tell me about my father? What is your opinion of my father? He said, may Allah bless your father for what he had done. So Mukhtar was indeed a man of sincerity, of ikhlas. And Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam praised him. So this man, again, when he wanted to find the haqq, he had the sincerity, Allah guided him to the haqq. So those individuals who say that, you know, I want to do this, brothers and sisters, it is time for us to see how much do we love Ahlul Bayt. How much do we love Rasulullah? How much do we love Allah? If Allah is telling me this is what I want you to do, how can I just stop it all? And I go against the will of Allah, wal'iyadu billah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, don't worry. You put on the hijab, you're afraid that they're going to kick you out of work? Don't worry. Even if they kick you out of work, I will provide you with a better job. I will take care of you. One day, Dawood, he said to somebody, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who did not stop you from getting food when you were in the womb of your mother, you think he will leave you in dunya without getting food? When you had absolutely no help. And then when you came to this dunya and you had absolutely no powers, you are powerless. Allah gave you a loving mother or a loving parent who took care of you and raised you and fed you. You think he will leave you at this stage? But sometimes we don't think of these things. Subhanallah. So brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, no, if people struggle in our path, we will guide them to our path. So what are some of the ways that a person can get the tawfiq or the success to walk in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that Allah increases in his guidance? One very important methodology is respecting Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Respecting Ahlul Bayt. What do I mean by respecting Ahlul Bayt? Al-Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, this man, how come on the day of Ashura his state changed like this? What happened? You know, Al-Hur, when he intercepted the path of Imam Hussein, two things happened. And some of the ulama, they think these two things what caused Hur to be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are they? One, when Imam Hussein saw Al-Hur, he said, are you with me or against me? He said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I'm afraid I'm against you. Al-Hur came with 1,000 men. And he said, I have been commanded to stop you from entering Kufa. He said, well, let me go through. He said, I'm sorry. The instructions are clear. I can't let you come through. قَالَ ثَكَلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ Imam al-Hussein told Al-Hur, may your mother have grieved over your loss. May you have died and your mother have grieved over you. Al-Hur looked at him and he said, if any man of the Arabs would have said this word to me, I would have replied the same way to him as well. But how can I say this about you when your mother is Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam? He said, so I'm going to take it from you. No problem. And then, at the time of Salat, when the time of Salat came, Imam Hussein told Al-Hur, Ya Hur, you lead the Jama'ah with your men, and I will lead the Jama'ah with my men. Hur said, no, Ibn Rasulullah, we will all join you, and you lead the Salat. So he ordered his men to pray behind Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This respect that Hur had to Imam Hussein then made him, as he was heading towards Karbala, hear a voice, Ya Hur, abshir bil Jannah. Oh Hur, congratulations, you are among the people of Jannah. So then he started talking to himself and saying, Wayh laka ya Hur, woe upon you Hur. أَيُبَشَّرُ بِالْجَنَّةِ وَهُوَ خَارِجٌ لِقِتَالِ ابْنِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ He's being told that you're going to go to Jannah when he is going to fight the grandson of Rasulullah. So that's why on the day of Ashura, things changed for him. Allah guided him. Why? Because of his respect to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When people respect Ahlul Bayt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them tawfiq. Give them tawfiq. Give them success. In dunya and in the akhirah. One of the ulama, it is said, he had some knowledge that was unique. Other ulama didn't have it. Some other unique knowledge. He could sense things. So they came to him one day and they said, how did you gain this knowledge? How did you gain it? He said, when I was a student in Hawza, I studied in Mashhad. In Mashhad. He said, my room in the Hawza was next to the shrine of Imam al-Ruba salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. And I saw that if I sleep in my room, my feet will be facing the Imam alayhi salam. So I thought how disrespectful this would be. So for 1 year, I slept while sitting down. I never lied down. Sitting down and I slept. Those of you who may have tried it, you find it's not easy. Sleeping while sitting down. But said, for 1 year, I did it. He said, after that 1 year, I felt that this knowledge is being bestowed upon me. I received this knowledge. Respecting Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, indeed, makes the person go up higher and higher. And wal'iyadu billah, the other way around. If a person disrespects Ahlul Bayt, in dunya he'd be put down and in the akhirah. Al-Mutawakkil al-Abbasi. Mutawakkil al-Abbasi, 17 times he tried to destroy the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. 17 times. Then he said, anyone who wants to go and visit Imam Hussein has to pay a tax. How much? 1,000 dirham or 1,000 dinars. That's a tax. So one day they saw an old lady coming on a stick. She came to the checkpoint and she gave them a bag. They opened the bag, they saw 1,000 dinars. They say, old lady, what is this money? Where did you get it from? You're so old. She said, my whole life I worked as a maid. I served in people's homes. And I used to collect some money and keep it for my retirement, you know, like some people do these days as well. I said, I kept this money for my retirement when I become old, so I don't become needy. However, I heard that you people have imposed a tax to go and see Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So I thought, Imam Hussein deserves this money more than I do, and keeping it for myself, spending this money in the way of Imam Hussein, and I know he will take care of me, he won't let me. They were shocked, they were moved. So then Mutawakkil Abbasi said, money seems doesn't seem to work with these people. So we're going to cut their hands. Anyone who comes, they have to give off their right hand. So they came across a man, an old man. 1 year he came. They said, so you're going to have to pay the tax. Show us your right hand. He said, no, take my left hand. Because last year you cut off my right hand. This year I cut the left. So even then, it did not stop the Zuwar of Imam Hussein from going and doing ziyarah of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. And then you see this man who fought against Imam Hussein in every way possible. How did he end in this dunya? What was the end of his life? He was sitting down with his people, drinking alcohol. His soldiers were fed up with the way that he was dealing with them. So they revolted against him. They entered into his court. While he was drinking, they cut him into pieces. And his flesh mixed with the alcohol. That was the end of this man, Mutawakkil al-Abbasi. In dunya. And in the akhirah, he's burning in Jahannam. So that is the thing with the human being, brothers and sisters. Having the right akhlaq, the good akhlaq, carries the person higher and higher towards the path of spirituality. To make him like al-hur. And another example of great akhlaq was Al-Qasim ibn al-Hasan, alayhi salam. On their way to Karbala, Imam Hussein looks at this young boy who was about 12 or 13 years of age. And he tells him, son, what is your opinion about death? He said, uncle, if it is in your path, it is sweeter than honey. So on the day of Ashura, when Ali al-Akbar was killed, then Imam Hussein alayhi salam was calling, is there anybody to help us? Is there anyone to support us? Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam looked and he saw a young youth coming from the tent approaching Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. He looked at him, he saw that it was Al-Qasim ibn al-Hasan. قال يا عام ائذن لي في الخروج. He said, oh my uncle, give me the permission to go and fight before you. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam hugged al-Qasim and he called him, my son, you remind me of your father Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Every time I miss him, I would come, I would hug you, I would smell you, and I would kiss you, and you would remind me of your father, Imam al-Hasan. It is difficult for your uncle to see you leave. He said, oh my uncle, but I want to have my father proud of me on the day of judgment. So please give me the permission to go and fight before you. It is said Imam al-Hussein took the hand of Qasim into his tent. Then he opened a box. He took the turban of Imam al-Hussein. He said, where this is the turban of your father? And he said, here is the sword of your father Imam al-Hussein. And here is the armor of your father Imam al-Hussein. You take these. This young man then took the sword, took the armor, took the turban, and he came out into the battlefield, calling, إن تنكروني فأنا نجل الحسن سبط النبي المصطفى والمؤتمن هذا حسين كالأسير المرتان وسط أناس لا سقوا صوب المزن. He said, if you don't know who I am Al-Qasim, the son of Imam al-Hasan. I am here defending my uncle Imam al-Hussein, alayhi salam. This young boy, he fought so bravely.
until one of the enemies said, I am gonna go and kill this young boy and wound the heart of his uncle Abi Abdullah with his loss. A man who was standing next to him, he said, don't you see all the enemies surrounding him? Why do you want to go and kill him? By God, if he comes to kill me, I would not even raise my hand to attack him back. Look at his shining face. It is like a bright moon. He said, no, I'm gonna go and kill him. Then he came after him. Hamid ibn Muslim, he says, I saw Al-Qasim ibn al-Hassan. He was fighting in the battlefield until the sandal he was wearing was cut off, and I still remember that it was on his left foot. So he descended down trying to tie his sandal. That's when the enemy of Allah came to him and struck him with his sword on his head. Then Al-Qasim turned وقال السلام عليك يا عم يا Oh, peace be upon you, oh my uncle, ya Aba Abdullah. Here I see my father, Imam al-Hasan, alayhi salam. Here I see my grandfather, Rasulullah. Here I see my grandfather, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Here I see my grandmother, Fatima. And they're all telling you, you are coming to see us shortly, ya Aba Abdullah. Imam al-Hussein rushed to his nephew. He killed his murderer. Then he sat next to him. Qala waladi al-Qasim ya'uzzu ala ammika an tad'uhu fala yujibuk aw yujibuka fala yu'inuk. Yigilla ya Jasim ishbidi يا ريت السيف قبلك حزو ريدي هان لكم يا جاسم تخلوني وحيدي. Then Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam carried his body to the tent, and then he left the tent. His mother Ramla entered into the tent crying, Aywa Qasima, Aywa Waladaya, oh my son Qasim, what was your crime? Why did they kill you, oh my son? Oh my son, I was hoping to see you grow older so that you take care of me when I become old. I never thought that I will be standing at your body full of arrows and spears. Inna lillah. وإنا إليه راجعون وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. مؤمنين المؤمنات, raise your hands for the dua. It is the time when the dua is accepted, inshallah. We have people who have requested our dua. Brother Muhammad Bimani, who will be going a surgery, undergoing a surgery to his back tomorrow, he's requested our dua. Another lady who's been in the hospital, Sister Razwana Abbas or Sajjad, she's also been in the hospital for about a month suffering. And many mu'mineen who have hajat, they've requested us to pray for them. Raise your hands. Let's pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill the hajat of all mu'mineen and mu'minat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Amma yujibul muzdarra idha da'ah. Amma yujibul muzdarra idha da'ah. Wa yakshifus su'. أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله 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 إلهي بفاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها اكشف عنا السوء يا الله. O Allah, fulfill the hajat of all those who have needs, Ya Allah. O Allah, give quick recoveries to all those mu'mineen who are sick, Ya Allah. O Allah, grant us the ziyarah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in dunya, Ya Allah. And grant us the shafa'ah of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein in the akhirah, Ya Allah. O Allah, forgive our parents. O Allah, bless our children. O Allah, hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam, Ajjalallahu ta'ala, farajahu al-sharif. Allahumma kulli waliyika al-hujjat ibn al-Hasan. صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أرنا الطلعة الرشيدة والغرة الحميدة واكحل أنظارنا بنظرة منا إليه. اللهم نقسم عليك بالزهراء فاطمة إلا ما رزقتنا شفاعة الزهراء يا الله يا الله يا الله لقضاء الحوائج ولشفاء المرضى ولكشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة ولتعجيل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات لا سيما أرواح أموات الجالسين والحاضرين. رحم الله من يقرأ السورة المباركة الفاتحة مع الصلوات.